Check this out. A fireball lit up the sky over New England this past Tuesday morning. And one museum in Maine is offering $20,000. That's 20,000 ducks that are going to quack in your pond to anyone who can produce a significant piece of it. The Maine Mineral and Gem Museum, which is set to open its doors in 2017, believes the meteor entered the Earth's atmosphere somewhere over the state based on the hundreds of eyewitness accounts. Now, you can read the full story and find out how to collect your dosh over at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, Daryl Sims, and your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tonight, our guest is Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. Now, Daryl, I just got a question right here on Twitter. And Adriana wants to know, does Daryl think that grays are robots and not living things?
What a great question. In my opinion, based on, again, over 38 years research and over 1,700 cases worldwide, and some of the events I witnessed personally, I am convinced that you have three different kinds of grays to begin with, that some of them appear to be biomechanical, and we may have some physical evidence that might support that we're looking at, and some of them appear to be mechanical. By that I mean they move robotically, and that's the rarer cases. And some of them appear to be strictly biological, and that's the kind that most often reported.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to west of the Rockies. And Sue, you're up next here on Coast to Coast. Welcome.
Hi. I was an abductee, and I reported my experience to the National Institute of Discovery Science. And I have an implant, and I want to have it out. Thank you.
Okay. Well, what's your question for Daryl, Sue?
I want to know if you could possibly do it and if I could possibly get that handled.
I'll leave that to Daryl. Daryl, what's your first question? I guess it would be, where is it?
A good question is, where is it? And, of course, the big one is, do you have any medical evidence to support your claim? And that doesn't mean your claim isn't true. It just means
I know that. I won't talk to my regular doctor.
You can write me privately, and we can discuss it in great detail. And go to alienhunter.org and just simply hit the Alien Hunter, and it will send me an email, and we can discuss your case in great detail.
I happen to be a blind person, and I don't have access to computers and all this. I mean, they're too expensive for me to afford. Thank you.
If you can have someone help you with that, I would love to talk to you, because one of our studies, believe it or not, is about people who are visually handicapped or blind, and this is kind of an important aspect of your case as well.
Sue, do you have somebody that could assist you in contacting Daryl Sims?
You can contact me by phone. That would be the easiest.
Okay. You could leave that number with Jimmy there or with the people there, and he'll make sure I get it.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold, Sue. You stay right there. All right. Let's go to Linda. You are up next on Coast to Coast AM. Say hi to Daryl Sims.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Daryl. I'm calling because I have blown a strange object out of my left nostril, and I told somebody about it. I tried to save it, and it disappeared. And now I've put something back in that same nostril. I can feel it with my finger. I mean, you can feel it's under the skin, but you can still feel it. And there's something in my left ear, because I get this high frequency sound, like sometimes. And I don't know about where you are, but where I am, the doctors and everything, if you'd mention this to them, they'd think you were crazy. Do you know of anybody in North Carolina or in the Charlotte area that can help me get x-rays or I can talk to about this?
I do, and I will be glad to help you discover that and work with it. If again, go to alienhunter.org and simply click on my name there, and email me, and I will discuss this with you and get you some help.
Daryl, I'm like the last lady that called. I'm handicapped too, and I don't know how to use a computer and don't have anybody to help me.
Well, that would be the only way to get it done. So, Linda, again, I guess I'll do the same thing that we did with Sue. I'll put you on hold, and we'll grab your information. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Daryl. Thank you.
Daryl, that's interesting. But this is Coast to Coast AM, and this is live radio. Two very interesting calls back to back. Now let's head out to just north here in California. Let's go to Gary. Gary, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Dan, talk about perfect timing. The one thing that I would be really interested in doing is using anybody with an implant or a static implant that's been removed as a so-called repeater station, like in short wave, with an intention experiment, because I believe they work on dark energy and have a large group of people focusing an intention with a repeater station that might be turned up to 4,000 watts to whoever is listening on the other side. Now, in regards to the former two callers, I've opened up the YouTube channel, Coast Insiders. Well, I've got several of them, but Coast Insiders, yes, go to the YouTube search bar and you'll find me there in a red shirt and a cowboy hat, pretty easy to spot. And what I'm doing is I'm incorporating voicemail from T-Mobile, trying to get a little more cooperation. But I want to tie voicemail into the YouTube channel so people like the former two callers could just call a number and leave up to a 3-minute message that would then go as an update on the Coast Insiders channel.
Okay, but Gary, let me ask, did you have a question for Daryl, though?
Yeah, can he help me participate, a group of people, with an intention experiment under Coast Insiders YouTube channel, where we have more flexibility than being on the air because it's offline, and use these people as a potential repeater station for an intention experiment of some sort that we can design.
Okay, well, that's interesting. And again, Gary, what you should do is just go to thealienhunter.org and contact Daryl directly and be able to handle that. Let's go to first-time caller line. Let's go to Rick. Rick, welcome to Coast to Coast. Rick?
Okay, hello?
You're next.
Yes, I'm on here. Can you hear me?
Rick, you're live.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Rick.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to bless, say peace and love to Art, peace and love to George, peace and love to you, Jimmy, and Daryl, you all. Right now, I'm 56. I've experienced the aliens. First experience was in Los Alamos when I was 14 or 13. I've experienced them all my life. There's these things. I read Whitley Strieber's book, That First Contact, and I had a thing taken out of my left leg when I was 14. I wanted to see it. They didn't want to show it to me or my mom. You know, and they said, okay, if cancer didn't happen, wasn't, so I kept my leg, didn't die 21, I'm here 56, but I have a round ball behind my left ear. They told me, oh, if it moves in front of your face, then it's dangerous, but they left it there, and I got a bump on my nose that it's like if my nose is kind of broken, a ball on pointing to the right side. But I've always experienced, and I bought a home in New Mexico up in the mountains. There's a station out there. I keep seeing a sphere between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock in the Sacramento Mountains, southern New Mexico. There's a station out there by Holloman Air Force Base. I'm in the mountains up 1,600, 800 feet, and I see it. In between those times, there's activity. And now that this has come out, people will not see that I'm crazy. I've experienced out of body when I was 14. I thought it was normal. Talking on girls on the phone. There's a lot. I remember my two lives when I was 6 to 7 years old. Now is the time it's coming out, and I feel like nobody can tell me I'm crazy anymore. All my life is, and I started listening to Art in 1986, and now has come the time. And I want someone to help me. I want you all to let me know where to, like the other people. I'll go to your site, but in this area, and I want now, and it's all I hear these people, it's going to start coming out.
Well, Rick, let me jump in so we can get to some other calls. What state are you in?
I'm in El Paso, Texas.
You're in El Paso, Texas. So you're asking for help in the El Paso, Texas area.
Yeah, or southern New Mexico.
Okay.
The question is, I can go to the site, I'll get in contact. The question is, this is what I'm wondering. I've always affected electronic items. I always buzz the thing in the store for the, you know, the security thing. Is there indication that people have implants? Is there history that they say they affect electronic items?
Thank you so much. That's very interesting, Rick. What about that, Daryl? Tripping security at department stores and affecting equipment and computers and electric watches and so forth.
We've had these accounts of affecting electronics, even computers. One lady at a famous hospital here in Houston, they won't let her use a computer simply because she blows them out, she says. The fact is that when we hear claims like this, one of the important things we want, of course, is proof. And in other words, guess where we're going to go? We're going to go to the grocery store. We're going to go through the scanners and everything else. Sometimes some of these people, when they tell us these things, the equipment, it doesn't happen whenever Daryl's around, which makes me think that's a little dubious. But the fact is that electronics is affected by some people and their events. And some of these people, by the way, do not have an implant.
I have a friend who was a guest on my show, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And she told me that she cannot use a computer, wear a watch, have anything cool around her house that everybody else has because it just simply doesn't work. And she has phone books. Can't use the internet, right? Can't look up phone numbers. Doesn't use a cell phone. They burn up in her hand. She has to have an analog phone back at her house, and she buys new ones all the time because they simply wear out nearly instantly. She has a calendar, you know, hard copy analog life that she lives because she burns up everything. And I find that totally interesting. She's been dealing with it her whole life.
I find it interesting, and I would love to talk to her about that because there are people on our team that are fascinated with this aspect, and whether it's alien related or not, the fact is it's just amazing. And again, this boils down in many cases these people do not have any kind of implant. Some of them don't have any kind of alien contact. It's just a unique experience that these people have, and I would like to document it.
Let's go to Wild Card. Let's go to Wayne. Wayne, you're next up. Say hi to Daryl Sims.
Hi, Daryl Sims, and hi to you, Jimmy Jam, with that good music you're playing tonight.
Yeah, we're getting it on, aren't we?
Yes, you are. Absolutely, completely fascinating. You guys were talking about the monkey people that came and were banging on something. Daryl, what were they banging on again?
The event where we had the surgery was in New Delhi, and about 600 miles away in Mumbai. That's where the relative was that heard these noises of these creatures banging on the bottom of the lift, which means elevator in the English, and other people tend to use that term, lift. But it was the bottom of the elevator, and she said they were very angry and very upset, and she asked her the question, why, do you know? And she said, yes, because you got the implant taken out today. They just found out about it.
Now, that's just about as scary of a thought as one could have, actually, Daryl. Wayne, did you have a question?
Yes, I do. Did anybody have the foresight or forethought to try to get any DNA-type evidence? And also, the aristocrat, you said he was half human, half reptilian. Maybe he was created by humans because somebody had to create him if he's half reptilian and half human.
Well, to answer two questions, one is I do have the DNA, and what's even better is I have the best DNA, and that's the abductee. So yes to those two things. And the last part is, in my opinion, that humans are not, quote-unquote, making these various seven models of the alien, from the reptile, the mantis, and others. If you look at the aliens carefully, and just the imagery that's reported, you'll see that the DNA of every one of these entities comes from planet Earth. Every one of the DNA. So the question is, did the humans make them? I suspect not, because these guys have been around for several thousand years minimum. So they were here before we knew to do it.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Hey, Wayne, are you from Chicago?
Yes, sir, I am.
So am I. Great Lakes Naval Station. I was born up in Waukegan.
Okay, yes, I've been up to Waukegan a few times.
There you go.
You're one of my homeboys.
Hey, Wayne, have a great, safe rest of your weekend, my brother. Thank you so much. And now let's go to Wild Card. I feel like talking to Henry right here in North Hollywood, right down the street. Henry, welcome to Coast.
I've been on the coast a couple of times about this. During my time in the Air Force, when the STS-117 mission was coming to Offutt Air Force Base, I had an incident in my dorm room in which closely fits the monkey people description. A low-crouched, green-skinned, large, to me, I'm only 5'4", black-eyed being, biped, came in and violently screeched at me, attacked me. I noticed that that there was a way to push back some of these things. They've followed me past multiple houses now. And in fact, at one point, I was armed with a gun. And in fact, it challenged me to a duel. I find them to be very unpleasant. And to be frank, I'm really loathing people that don't take this seriously.
Yeah, absolutely, Henry. And I want to have Daryl to have a chance to answer before we hit the break. So what's the question?
Well, what has he done to make them go away? Because, I've had my mother just pass away recently from a mysterious fast-acting cancer, similar to Miss Streber. And,
okay. Let me jump in. I want Daryl, seriously, to answer this for you, Henry, and thank you for the phone call. Daryl, what can somebody do to keep E.T. away?
One of the best things they can do is email me at from alienhunter.org, and I will send you a whole write-up I did on self-defense with the alien. One of the things you can do, and I especially like to work with little children that are having these events and their parents can't stop the bad experiences, and the reason in some of these cases isn't because they watch bad movies, but because something bad's coming in their room. But you can do a number of things. One of them is you can, a lot of this stuff is mental. Some of it's definitely physical, but if you can interfere with them on a mental level, and there are different ways to do this. If you can do that and get past the awe or get past the fear, one of the two, and start interacting with them, you'll be amazed at the fact that a number of the things that you can practice on them, you'll find that you're actually more mentally capable than they are in that regard.
Thank you for that. Absolutely fascinating. And now we're going to head towards a break. And Daryl, when we come back, we have so many phone calls that are coming in about objects that were implanted and effects with electrical devices. It seems to be something that is pretty common and also very interesting. So let's do a bunch of that. Our guest tonight is Daryl Sims. I am Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. More of your questions and phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Let me tell you what, your phone calls, Daryl Sims, and Triumph means air guitar here at the Coast to Coast studios at 1 o'clock in the morning. Check this out. A ghost turns out to be a man stuck in a chimney. What am I talking about? You're going to want to go check out this bizarre story right now of a couple who heard voices coming from the walls in their house, and they thought they had a ghost. What was it? Go check it out right now in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. Now, we've got wall-to-wall calls in. I want to get all of you in to speak with Daryl Sims. Make the questions quick, and I'll make it happen. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, and this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to Coast AM. Our guest, Daryl Sims, the alien hunter. Now, let's get to the phones. West of the Rockies, Brandon, you're up next on Coast to Coast. Say hi to Daryl.
Hi.
You're up.
Oh, hi. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, hi. I had an experience. Do you know about the black-eyed children?
Okay.
Yes, I had an experience with black-skinned children. They stole my stuff. Hi.
Okay. We're dealing with alien implants. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Hi, you are up next on Coast to Coast AM. You're up next.
Hey, Daryl. How's it going?
Hello.
Yes, we're good.
All right. I was just wondering if these devices are emitting any kind of signals or frequencies, and if they do, what effect do they have on the body?
That's an interesting question because I've asked Daryl about this a lot. Tracking radio input, output. Daryl, are you able to measure any of this?
We've not measured anything so far. We have our suspicions. Some of the things we have found out to begin with is that that neurotransmitters such as serotonin, dopamine, and the potassium seems to be affected in some of these abductees that their doctors have found is abnormal alterations in them, and some people seem to think that that is directly related. We do have some testing that we're wanting to do on a university level in which the current implants that I have with me and also implants that are in situ, that means inside the body, can be tested. This is an evaluation I would love to do under a university setting with implants inside the body and outside. And basically what we would like to do is develop a signature, so to speak, or a phone call, if you like. We're going to phone home to ET and see who shows up.
Right. Hey, Brandon, thank you for the phone call. Excellent phone call. Wild card. Let's go to Jay. Jay, you're up next.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Jay. What do you have for Daryl?
Okay, a few things. First of all, I haven't read the books yet, but I wanted to suggest or see if possibly in the future you make those into a documentary or docu-series. I kind of wanted to get your take on all of this, especially with, it sounds like he has a vast history knowledge of it, with kind of related compared to the Book of Enoch and being omitted from the Bible as far as with the Nephilim, the reptilians, and the hybrid fallen angels, etc. I was wondering if anyone had ever had any kind of experiences that were maybe more ordinary and not necessarily like ET abductions, if anyone had claimed anything of such as like tracking, mind control, or anything of that, if anyone had experienced any government agencies, Men in Black, or other powers that be were pressuring, suppressing them, intimidating, anything like that, cloning, other experimentation, anything like that.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you really fast. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jay. Go ahead, Daryl.
First of all, the entities that in the ancient Indian literature, they claim there are over 400,000 kinds of intelligence out there in space and to here. I can't argue that because I haven't been there, so I don't know. But let's assume there were over 400,000 kind. That's entirely possible. The thing is that all ancient literature, Bible, ancient Sumerian documents, all these different documents, there are ancient work and literature and so on, basically defines all civilizations and all peoples and all entities in two groups, good and bad. The good ones are often referred to as angelic or described as angelic, and the others are described as all kinds of things, and the alien seems to be on that other side of the ledger. So that's the answer to that one. Second is that there are people who do claim government interference and this sort of thing, and I don't doubt that that is a distinct possibility. Not found that to be true in terms of provable. It doesn't mean it isn't true. It just means that for me, as an ex-police officer and a private investigator in the state of Texas, I can't go to court with, Your Honor, I think that this person has been influenced by the government in some bad way. you actually have to be able to prove this stuff. If you're going to accuse the United States government or anybody else, you kind of have to be able to prove it. And that's, if we can prove it, hey, God bless America. Let's go get them. So that's kind of important. And I do think that that kind of stuff does happen. Don't get me wrong. I just say you have to actually be able to prove it if you're going to. And like the claim of implants, you can't just say, you know, they're out there. You actually have to go do 25 surgeries as an example to make your case. And we have to do that. It's really important.
Let's go to Wild Card. Jeff, welcome to Coast.
Hello, Jimmy and Mr. Sims.
Yes, sir.
Hey, yeah, how you doing, Jimmy? All right, Mr. Sims. Real quick. Yes, for years I've always suspected that I may have been an unwilling and unwitting subject in these implant procedures, which I have absolutely no idea why I was either a part of or chosen for. But in the late 1960s, when I was born at the UCLA Medical Center, I remember my mom telling me that a white nurse, you know, I'm African-American and so is my mom, offered her $50,000 to buy me. Of course, my mom refused the sale. And even though at that time, 50 grand was a lot of money and my family was, you know, very poor, you know, at around, you know, that time, you know, she said, no, I don't want to sell my baby. You know, at around age 3, I fell and hit my head, cutting the corner of my left eye. The paramedics took me to the UCLA Medical Center to get stitches. And ever since then, my birth and the accident, I've always believed that due to some strange or unusual experimental project in the late 1960s, that I may have been implanted with something, you know, unbeknownst to my mom and, of course, me. My question is this, Mr. Sims. Why are these experiments usually conducted on small children or very young children? And do you believe that the medical profession may be working in cahoots with these quote-unquote alien genetically manipulated reptilian clones?
Excellent question, Jeff. Excellent question. Daryl.
Very good question. The answer is I found no conspiracy of the medical establishment being involved and complicit in something like this. However, the question, if you carry it over into the intelligence community, has this ever been done before? Has the government interfered with people, affected their lives in some negative way? Of course they have. And these were experiments done in the 50s to 60s. Awful, awful things. It's well documented. It's historical. And these people, in my opinion, should have been tried for that on a criminal level. So, yes, that does happen. As to buying a baby for $50,000 out of a hospital, I don't know anything about that. But I would certainly, if I thought I were implanted in some way or another with an alien or a government object or anything like that, I would want to get x-rays or other testing to see if that were in fact true and check that location of where I think I was affected, my eye or wherever. That would be real important.
Yeah, very interesting. Have you ever heard about that in general, the medical community possibly doing the work of the aliens and completing the implant side of things?
Well, we hear the claims of this sort of thing. But again, and he brought up a really great point. He said, do you believe? My belief is irrelevant. It's what I can prove. I'm not attempting to avoid or to be negative here in any sense of the word. But when we're going to go out and accuse a medical doctor or a hospital or anything like that of being complicit in some project like that and being involved and know it wittingly, that's a pretty serious statement. In fact, just to accuse a doctor because of their profession is an example, just to accuse him or to call one of them a quack or something like that and go to court, you're probably going to lose in most cases. And the reason is that you can't just throw out carte blanche accusations. You actually have to be able to prove the stuff. And if it does exist out there, obviously we need to know about it and we need to find the proof of it and make it public.
Let's go out to Meridian, Mississippi, and Dan, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello?
Dan, you're live.
Hey, yeah. I had a question about that aristocrat. And I was curious about, you know, just, you know, what you've researched on about, you know, these basically political, high-powered officials, you know, and the reptilian shape-shifting. And was this reptilian, I mean, did he look like he could change shape at all? Or, I mean, was he solid in his form? Or?
Okay, I got you, Dan, and thank you for the call. Very interesting. Was it a shape-shifting reptilian, a reptilian, Daryl?
It was not. The entity was in charge, and in fact, the reptile entities that are seen in the seven primary flavors or models, as I call them, of the so-called alien species that are visiting here, all of them end up on the same craft at the same time, numerous times, because they're all in cahoots together. And the fact is that the reptiles, they're in charge in most cases. They are very powerful, very authoritarian, sometimes very sexual, very pretty brutal in some respects. So, but this was not a shape-shifting into a human being and that sort of thing. It was, in fact, a mixture of the two, which illustrates a point to me that genetics is the name of the game here.
Let's jump to wild card. Frank, you're up next. Say hi to Daryl Sims. Frank?
Oh, yes. Good morning, gentlemen. I was wondering, earlier one asked about any electrical wave length being projected from these implants. And that. Another thing would be is maybe checking about any, if they've got any magnetic properties to it, and what it may be pulsating electrical field, magnetic electrical field around them, and that for a signal or anything like that.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Frank. Daryl?
The answer to your question is there. Some of them are magnetic. The one that, from India is not magnetic. I have three objects that came from one lady's foot in the very first surgery, in the top of her foot, not the bottom. She didn't step on anything because whatever it was in her foot, was meteoric in origin, and a rare meteorite wrapped in her own surface skin. The point is that the some of them were magnetic and some of them were not, and they were all located in the same spot.
Interesting. And how often is that, I mean, is that something you can actually test for? If you have something in the surface, put a magnet next to your skin?
You certainly can. One implant, that a lens implant we were looking at in Santa Monica, where my cardiovascular surgeon did a surgery for me there, a brain surgeon was present, and we found this object in this man's leg, and a really honest, decent man, with no question an abductee. But the object, in my opinion, was in fact not an implant, and later we found that to be true, even though we surgically removed it. It was, it was interesting to see this magnet hanging on this guy's leg, but that doesn't make it an implant. It makes it ferrous metal. That's number one. Number two is that I also have another abductee in Norway that's got implants, theoretically, inside her, and she's got these magnets on her top of her. Around her shoulders to her back. And the interesting thing is the implants in her, are you ready for this?
Ready.
Apparently are not metal.
What does that mean?
I don't know. What it means, what it suggests to me is something there's magnetic, has a magnetic field, but it is in fact not metal. And you say, well, have you ever seen that in ufology? Only in one case.
Right.
And the case was that we have a case that we're looking at currently where the UFO came up under a boat and magnetized the aluminum boat. The amazing thing about that is I know where the boat is, and we're going to go raise it.
Interesting. Okay, one last call. Let's go east of the Rockies to Texas. Hi, you're live on Coast to Coast.
Hi, can you hear me?
We got you.
All right. Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Daryl Sims. This is Max. I want to know if the implants, could it be affecting like chakras or love or longevity or intelligence or memories or ESP or health? You know, does it affect the person in any positive ways?
Daryl?
We've had, I always ask these questions, especially from implants that have been removed from all of our people. And only in one case did the person wish they had not been removed. He said he thought it affected his psychic ability, whatever that was for him, for some short time. And he wished he hadn't done that. But the rest of them felt like they had, the monitoring had stopped, that it was the internal monitoring of them had stopped, and they felt extremely relieved as a result of it. So it's pretty subjective. These are just people's statements. It doesn't mean that they knew exactly, but that was their personal feeling of the events.
Thank you so much. And we're just about out of time. I've got one more. This is just interesting, so I'm going to go to this really quick. Haley, you said that you woke up and you were missing cuticles. Can you get that really quick to Daryl?
Yes, I can. I woke up, I was using the bathroom, but before it happened, I saw a bright light. It woke me up in the middle of the night. I turned my back on it. I figured, you know, it's not a full moon, but it's close to full, and I went back to bed. What felt like 2-3 minutes later, I wake up and it was pitch black. The next morning I wake up, I go to the bathroom and I'm looking on the inside palm of my hand and they're bright orange as if they were soaked in iodine with blood stains all over them. So that was on the palm. So then I flip my hand over and every single cuticle on both hands were basically just cut off. Now, I had no blood stain or iodine on my nightgown, nothing on my bed. My husband checked inside my mouth, nothing on my face.
Okay, Haley, let me jump in. Contact Daryl at alienhunter.org because we are out of time, and I want to thank Daryl Sims for coming in tonight. Daryl, thank you so much. His website is thealienhunter.org. 38 years of research. He is the absolute very best. Now, you can check out my show, Fade to Black. I'm on every night right before George from 7 to 10, jimmychurchradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at jchurchradio, and I am your host, Jimmy Church. And this has been Coast to Coast AM.